Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. There's something about hearing your name spoken by someone that you respect, admire, even love. It sends the message that they know who you are. Or, said a different way, they value you enough to remember your name. Of course, the opposite's also true. Someone keeps messing up your name. Puts you in an awkward position, doesn't it? How long do you let it slide? Or are you willing to just accept being known incorrectly? I bring this up because in today's gospel lesson, Matthew shares a list of names of the 12 disciples who he now, within one verse, is also calling apostles or sent ones. And that's not unusual to list the names of the disciples, but it begs the question, why did it take 10 chapters to get this list? Part of the answer, I suppose, is that the Gospel of Matthew and all of the Bible really is above all about Jesus. He's the focus. He's the key. Everything else is secondary. But at the same time, Matthew's gospel is at least partially about the disciples, since they have been called by Jesus, they've been given authority by him, sent to be his representatives. Or think of it this way. They are valued enough to be called by name in the most important document ever written. We're even told a few of the names of the larger group of his disciples, and here we could mention people like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, but the fact is we don't know the name of every Christian who ever lived. For every Peter, James, and John, for every Mary Magdalene, there are thousands upon thousands of Christian disciples whose names are now forgotten, but who blessed the world in Jesus' name when they were here. Each one of us knows only a handful, really, of the billions of people in the world today, but still, certain things can be said about all of us. And it's true. Every person has a unique identity, personal place in the family tree, diverse intellectual gifts, abilities, interests, opportunities and limitations, and even different names. But despite all of our differences, at least three things can be said about every human being. First, we are all the handiwork of the God who gives life in the first place. Secondly, we are all sinners, separated from God because of our inherited nature and what that does to us in terms of things that we do that are wrong and things that we should have done that we don't do because of that same source. But third, altogether, we all make up the world, which we are told with authority. God loved so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It would take a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world to free the whole world from the bondage of death. And good news, that happened. That happened at the cross of Jesus. But because this deliverance from sin, death, and the devil is to be apprehended or received by individual faith, this good news of salvation needs to be communicated and preached and proclaimed, heard and believed by individuals. You understand? No one can believe for you. It has to be yours. Now, it's because of the enormity of proclaiming this, the enormity of taking this good news into the world, that Jesus told his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers." What were these laborers to do? They were to labor by living out and proclaiming the reality of Jesus and his work. He told them, "As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know what that means? It's here. It's right here today. It's at hand. It's no further away than your arm, the length from here to there. The kingdom of heaven is that close. What does that mean? Well, where Jesus rules in love and compassion, there is the kingdom. That kingdom comes through hearing about it, through the word about it. And that word about the kingdom of Jesus' love and compassion breaks into our reality, right into our harassment, right into our helplessness. It's not the absence of distress. The kingdom comes into the middle of our distress. It comes into the great concern that we have when we look around at our world and see nations in conflict and families falling apart, conflicts and scandals that lead us into a cynical attitude, maybe even a fearful one. Add to that our personal tragedies, the death of a loved one, addiction that we can't shake, hopelessness as we look at the future. What we need most is the word of Jesus' kingdom to break into our locked rooms, and the news of the spiritual reality in which Jesus brings mercy and forgiveness and compassion has come. It's here now as we apprehend the gospel for ourselves, and it's meant for everyone. It comes from the God who made you, who formed you, and who now says to you, as it says in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I have called you by name. That's why, by the way, in the sacrament of holy baptism, typically a pastor will ask, "How is this child to be named?" Or if you're able to answer, "How are you named?" It's not that we are that forgetful. It's so that we can speak your name along with God's name. You see, there really are two names involved in a baptism: yours and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In baptism, your name is brought together with the name that is above all names, and you become his child. You become known. You become cherished in that moment. In baptism, you join Jesus in the water. And joining Jesus in the water, your heavenly Father says to both of you, "You are my beloved child. I am well pleased with you." Do you hear that? You are valued enough to be called by name and to share in the blessings of God's name. Have you taken that to heart? Are you living from that source? Let's pray. Almighty God, you've sent your only Son to reveal your compassion and saving love to all people, and through him, you have invited us to call you Father. Today, we acknowledge that we know true fatherhood through your powerful love. Amid the changes and chances of life in an increasingly impersonal world, make us to know and believe by your grace, you know our names and have written them in your book of life. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.